Morning. Nothing like a good song like that to get the juices flowing to hopefully keep you awake. We have a few visitors with us. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us. Met a couple from Columbus, Ohio. Glad that you came our way. There's some other visitors I didn't get a chance to meet. Look forward to doing that after our worship. Today we're going to, if you would, turn to Genesis, the 25th chapter. Chris read our scripture reading that was taken from that passage. We're actually going to start back in verse 24 for our lesson. It's about Esau selling his birthright. Birthrights were very important back at this period of time. We really don't hear, at least in our culture, we don't hear much about a birthright. A lot of times we will see people having wills or evenly dispersing amongst the children. A lot of times a court will evenly disperse if there is no will. But back in this culture at this time, birthrights were very, very important. Birthright was the official blessing of the father. It went upon the oldest. You know, if you were just by chance the oldest, you got the birthright. And we're going to see here that Esau will sell his birthright, will give it up. And for what? And even though this took place so many generations ago in a land far away from us today in the 21st century in the United States, a lot of the messages still apply to us today. I'm going to be reading, starting in Genesis 25 and verse 24. Our lesson's taken out of the New King James Version. It says, so when her days were fulfilled, this is talking about Rebecca, when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? So Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And you think your family is dysfunctional. I don't think any of us hold a candle to these people. And we can go before, you know, earlier in time in this family, later in time, and that's a whole nother story right there, just how dysfunctional these people were. But Esau had the birthright. He and Jacob were twins, but Esau was born first. And he had the birthright. He comes in from the field. He'd been hunting, starving to death. Famished. About to die. I've been hungry at times, thought I was going to die. Not even close. I would say the hungriest I've ever been, I was far from death. Thought I was going to die. Would swear up and down, oh, I'm about to die. But far from death. Esau comes in, smells that stew that his brother Jacob had been cooking. You got to give me some of that. I'm about to collapse. Give me some of that. And here's Jacob. Sees an opportunity. What an opportunistic person here. Oh, you want some of this stew? Give me your birthright. I came out right after you. It could have been me. I could have been the first one. We're twins. Except you're a little hairier than I am. We could have, you know, I could have had the birthright. I'm a good guy, so he thinks. Sell me your birthright. You want some stew? Give me your birthright. Jacob says to him in verse 32, he goes, man, I'm about to die. What is a birthright to me? If I don't get some of that stew, I'm going to die. And then where will the birthright be? He says, swear to me, as of this day, the birthright's mine. So he did. And gave him a bowl of stew, gave him some bread, and he ate and he drank. He arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Didn't despise. The word despise, last week it was brought up in a lesson about hating. Jesus talks about this concept, not that he hated his birthright, but he loved something more than his birthright. You know, Jesus told us, you know, if we don't hate our father and mother, he doesn't want us to hate our parents. Jesus, the greatest example we had, showed love and respect to his parents. This idea of despising his birthright is not that he hated it. He loved something more than his birthright. Something came between him and what was it? It was hunger. We see this same concept in Hebrews 12. The New Testament talks about this. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. As I was preparing this lesson, I was thinking, that verse right there is a good lesson. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Goes back in verse 15 about for any root of bitterness. Don't you know there was bitterness between those two brothers because of this? Probably before this. You know, we saw that how the parents made a difference between the two. I don't know if you have ever done this. I have cut down trees or bushes or whatever. Thought I got them. Cut them right off at the ground. Even dug out a little bit, cut them off. Thinking I've got it. Sure enough, down the road, there'll be growth still coming up because that root was still alive. Do we let that root of bitterness, on the surface we get everything out, but that underneath everything, that root of bitterness is still there. And you've got to totally eradicate that, or that bitterness will cause trouble within your own life, between you and God, between you and somebody else, maybe even loved ones. And it said for that he sold his birthright for one morsel of food. Why? He was hungry. He was hungry. And he gave up something, probably his greatest possession was that birthright. He gave up something that was important because he was hungry. You know, what do people sell their birthrights for? And we've got a birthright, our salvation. The birthright that God gave Jesus for us. People sell their birthrights for all sorts of things today. And what do they do it for? The same old issues. That idea of worldly, the conflict of worldly versus eternal. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John gives us insight and he sums up sin. I've tried to think of things that fall outside of one of these three categories of sin. John shows us the three paths of sin in life. Starting in verse 16, 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." The Apostle John explains to us the three paths of sin. The lust of the flesh, that's what got Esau. He was hungry. His flesh was nagging at him, "I'm starving, I'm hungry. I want that soup, you know, that soup that you've made." Turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We can sell our birthright for one of those three or all. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 24. This is that Hall of Faith chapter that we talk about a lot. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Something that stood out to me here, Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's household with all the trappings, with all the privileges of being in Pharaoh's household. And it says when he became of age, he's still a young man. What a mature young man, though, to be able to put all those privileges, to turn away from them, to suffer the affliction with the people of God, rather than, it said, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He understood some of those pleasures of sin, they pass. They're temporary. They come and they go. And that's all sin. That allure is strong, but it's temporary. And like Moses, we need to keep the perspective of the difference between the world and spiritual eternity. Galatians 5 tells us that difference between those spiritual and earthly things. Turn to Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. This is Paul writing to the Christians in Galatia, and he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. It's a shame Esau couldn't have done that. Keeping focus on spiritual things and keeping earthly things in perspective. Are we never going to, we're going to get hungry. Doesn't say never get hungry. But to keep things in perspective, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Keep them in perspective. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I know you have. I'm going to speak about me, though. I know every one of us falls into this category. I know I've done things. I'll have the desire to do good. Want to do good. Want to be pleasing to God. And I'll stumble. I'll do something. There's no joke in sin. It's kind of like one of those commercials, the V8 moments. I could have had a V8. You think, what was I thinking? What was I thinking when I said that? What was I thinking when I did that? That you do the things that you do not do the things that you wish. I don't think any of us in here, as a Christian, wake up in the morning and have a list of things to do that is contrary to the Word of God. I'm going to get up and I'm going to really hurt God's feelings today. I am really going to set out to get Him mad at me. I'm going to see just how far I can push things. We don't do that. We have that desire to serve. Or I'll put it this way. If we have the desire to go against God, you're wasting your time here. Go out and, serve the devil. We want to serve God. We sometimes don't do those very things that we want to do. Sometimes we don't do the things that we want to. But if you are led by the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. And I love this next line. Now the works of the flesh are evident. You don't have to be a brilliant person to figure out what the works of the flesh are. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to, work at NASA. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. I hope none of us do those things. We look at those things and, I never want to do that. It continues on. Hatred. Contentions. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. I needed to be wearing my steel-toed boots today. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. None of us want to think of being guilty as a murderer or a fornicator or an adulterer or an idolater. Would it make you feel any better to go to hell for contentions or selfish ambition? Would you feel better doing that and not making it to heaven? Well, at least I wasn't a murderer. At least I wasn't an adulterer. Oh yeah, I caused dissension and strife. I'm a liar. I'm a this, I'm a that. But I didn't do those other things. And the like. And he says that those who practice such things live in it. We're going to stumble. There's a difference in sinning and living in sin. There's not one of us that are perfect. But hopefully we don't live in sin. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If Esau could have just thought of those things. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, we sell our birthright, the blessings that we have gotten from God, in numerous ways. Our health. You know, we sell our birthright, or people do, not necessarily us, but people sell their birthright, the blessings they have of health, for drugs and alcohol. Lack of activity. Reckless behavior. We sell our birthright of friends sometimes. Losing a friend because we didn't want them to play with our toy. Adults, I'm talking to you, not the little kids. Although the little kids can listen too. Hurt feelings, pride. We sell that birthright, that privilege, that greatest gift that we could have. We sometimes sell out for those things. We sell out the birthright of jobs. Those of us that have been in the workforce, I'm sure we can think of people that have had unethical work practices, and they wind up getting fired. They embezzle. They steal from the company. They're lazy. They don't work. They've given up that privilege of a job. For what? Because I've cut a few minutes off my time card. I've taken money out of the till. Was it worth it? We sell our birthright of our family. Committing adultery, lying, doing things that you lose your family, the birthright of family that you can't get back over. We sell out our reputation. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor than silver and gold. We sometimes sell out our reputation, our character. And for what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And worst of all, sometimes we sell our birthright of salvation. We give up that precious gift of salvation. And for what? 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 20, the Apostle Peter writes, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's never sell our birthright of salvation. Let's never become like the dog that returned to his own vomit, or the sow that's been washed. And we have been washed. We have been washed by the blood of Christ. And then to return to wallowing in the mire of this world. We always need to remember that this earthly life is temporary. I think the older I get, the more I realize that. James 4, starting in verse 13, James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills." You know, Jesus even prayed that. Jesus prayed that very concept when he was in the garden. "Dear God, I'm not looking forward to what's about to happen. If there's any way around it, I would like it. But not my will, your will." Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Our life is a vapor. We are here today and can be gone tomorrow. We can be gone within the next minute. To realize just how temporary our life is puts things in perspective. The spiritual becomes more important. This life is not only temporary, but we are unsure of how much future we have. Acts 17:30 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." You don't know what the future holds. You've been granted, we've been granted this much time so far. God's overlooked these times of ignorance in our life where we've done foolish things. Calls on all men everywhere to repent. In Acts 16, we see Paul in prison. And starting in verse 25, it says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and says, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately, he and his family were baptized." Amen. He didn't wait, because he understood. Paul obviously taught him. He spoke the word of God to him. Immediately, he became baptized. "Well, I want to think about it. Well, I want to wait till Aunt Minnie comes in from Ohio to see it." Immediately, he and his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. What a wonderful story there, that he and his household were baptized and saved. And I'd like to close with Acts 22, verse 16. We've talked today about Esau selling his birthright, something that was very precious in that society, very important. And he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew and some bread. We sell or have the option of selling our birthright of salvation daily through one of those paths of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Acts 22:16. I'd like for you to keep this verse in mind as you think of yourselves. If you're not baptized, you've been given the most precious thing that could ever be given, and that is the opportunity of salvation. God gave his Son for you. And as Acts 22:16 says, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." If you're not a Christian, there is no better time than right now to be baptized and to wash away your sins. If you are a Christian, there is no better time than right now, if you have sin in your life, to repent. God overlooked those times of ignorance, but he calls all men everywhere to repent. If you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of your sins, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you'd like to identify with working with us here at South Valley, whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.